Yeah, I think I probably still have some. All right. Because the churches I've been to are so far from what I read about in Scripture, I think I can be a better Christian without the church than I can with the church. Pastor Craig Groeschel recounts this confession of a young waiter in his book, The Christian Atheist. The young man, Brad, had witnessed Pastor Groeschel and his wife praying before their meal. After their prayer, Brad came up and asked enthusiastically, "Are you guys Christians?" When they said yes, Brad eagerly shares with them all Christ has done for him. Pastor Groeschel then asks Brad where he goes to church. "Oh, I don't go to church. Organized religion doesn't work for me." When Pastor Groeschel inquires further why Brad doesn't go to church, Brad responds, "Because the churches I've been to are so far from what I read about in Scripture, I think I can be a better Christian without the church than I can with the church." While I don't agree with Brad when the church is at its best, I think we all have to admit his words ring true. When the church is at its best, loving as Christ loves, serving as Christ serves, it can't be beat. But most of us have been around the church long enough to know the church isn't always at its best. Now, I'm not necessarily speaking about our congregation. Our recent survey suggests we have a 70% or better approval rating in most every area of ministry, at least among the 200 or so who completed the survey. But even so, we know we can be better. And we know Christ's church can be better. Too many people have had experiences similar to Brad's. Some of you are here today. Millions of Americans from many denominations, even megachurches, used to be active churchgoers. For many, with the 24/7 schedules they have to keep, what church offers isn't compelling. With only so many hours in a day, they have to choose, and they aren't choosing church. Others have the time, but they don't have the desire. They don't like the hypocrisy they've experienced at church, people acting one way on Sunday and another way on Monday. Or they get tired of the church always asking for money. It's not that they don't want to give, they're just not sure the church is being a good steward with their gifts. Still others have tried church and found it wanting. Going to church doesn't seem to make much difference in their lives. Still others really want to attend church, but too often they leave feeling guilty. They feel ashamed by some of the life choices they've made in the past. Others, who Pastor Groeschel calls super spiritual, think they're too good for the church. They set the bar so high, even if Jesus was the pastor, it wouldn't be good enough for them. Friends, I'm not mocking or judging any of these folks. These are authentic experiences of what the church is at its worst. Even those of us who've stayed, who are deeply committed to Christ's church, have experienced enough of these things to understand why some walk away. We understand why folks like Brad believe they can do church better on their own. One time or another, many of us have probably wondered ourselves, why do I bother? Pastor Groeschel offers some great insights into how we can do church better. Acknowledging our hurt, disillusionment, or disappointment in the church, he challenges us to be the change we want to see in the church by giving our life to the church. Even though the church is far from perfect, he writes, think how much better it could be if you would give your life to it. God is not calling us to go to church. He's calling us to be his church and the hope of the world. Friends, I see this disconnect between what the church is and what the church can be in our reading from Luke this morning. Cleopas and Mary were coming home from church late in the afternoon on that first Easter Sunday. Luke tells us they were talking about the events of the past few days, the cruelty and power of the chief priests, the shock and grief of seeing their beloved friend and teacher crucified, the chaos in the garden looking for the body of Jesus. Not your ordinary coffee hour conversation. But you can almost feel the familiarity as they discuss everything that had happened. In the midst of their conversation, a stranger approaches. What are you talking about? He asks. Luke tells us the question stopped them in their tracks. They stood still, looking sad, and then Cleopas responded, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have taken place there in these days? When Jesus inquires further, they offer what sounds like a profession of faith, but reveals so much more. Not only are they grieving the death of their beloved teacher and friend, but their hope as God's people has turned to despair. They had believed with all their heart Jesus would free them from Roman oppression, make their world better. But their very own handed Jesus over to be condemned and crucified. If that wasn't enough, some of the women in their group went to the tomb. They claimed the tomb was empty, and they had seen Jesus. When others went to check out their story, they saw the tomb was empty, but Jesus was nowhere to be found, so they feared someone had taken his body. Friends, their story sounds extraordinary. They witnessed the death of Jesus. They are speaking to the risen Lord. Yet their story also feels familiar. Like Cleopas and Mary, we know what it's like to lose someone. We know what it's like to be grief-stricken, tired, and frightened. We know what it's like to be disillusioned and disappointed. We know what it's like being overwhelmed by chaos, trying to make sense of it all. We know their story, for it is our story. What I find fascinating is Jesus' response. Jesus doesn't comfort them in their grief and confusion. He calls them out and he challenges them. Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Jesus then retells the whole story of salvation from Moses through the prophets, showing that he is God's Messiah, as he promised. Friends, in Jesus' response to Cleopas and Mary, even on that first Easter, we see the church wasn't what Jesus hoped it would be. What was it that frustrated him? Was it that they didn't recognize him? Was it they didn't remember his teachings? Why were they such a disappointment to him? Does it matter? The point is, Jesus encounters a couple of his followers, literally hours after he was raised from the dead. They don't recognize him, and apparently they had forgotten everything he had taught them. The rest of the story we know well. It was getting late. they invited Jesus to join them for dinner. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread. What an amazing transformation! In the breaking of the bread, together, in communion, in relationship, the presence of the risen Lord was revealed to these grieving, disappointed disciples. So moved were they by this revelation of Christ's presence. They left that moment in the dead of night and made the 7-mile journey back to Jerusalem. They couldn't wait to share this good news with their friends. Christ is risen. Friends, this is why we do church together. We see the risen Lord most clearly together, in communion, in relationships, as imperfect as they may be. God knows, I understand the disillusionment and disappointment, even shame, personally and as a pastor. I see it from both sides. When I disappoint Christ and when I disappoint you, as well as when I'm disappointed by those with whom I serve. But none of that compares to the joy, the peace, the hope I feel when we get it right, when we are at our best, when we find Jesus together. Many of you could give me 100 reasons why, like young Brad, the waiter, you believe you're better off following Christ on your own. I doubt I could refute any of it. Too often, like the first disciples, the church is a gathering of broken, sinful, ordinary people, myself included. Ill-prepared, apart from God, for the task God has given us to do. Like Cleopas and Mary, I'm sure I, have frustrated and disappointed God to no end. But then, the bread is broken, and we become what we could never be alone: the body of Christ. A marriage is saved. A child is fed. A widow is comforted. A broken heart is mended. An illness is healed, an addiction overcome, a life is changed, a home is restored, new life is found, a loved one may die in peace, all because we broke bread together and saw for ourselves, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Beloved, our nation needs to hear this good news like never before. And we can only share it together. Thanks be to God.